Welcome in to Inside the Icebox here on the ESPN Houston YouTube channel and ESPN 97.5. Joe George, Sean Mapes here with you, talking all things Houston Astros. And today's episode is always brought to you by D&M Leasing, home of the Easy Lease. You can start your leasing journey today at 713-290-1000 or visit them at dmautoleasing.com. Very America of us today, Sean. You've got your bandana. Yeah, I've got my 4th of July Astros hat, and we got the shirts.
Oh my God, we're matching shirts.
Matching shirts right
we
now.
We do this, I don't know, close to once a week. Maybe not literally once a week, but like we'll wear the same hat. Like we just love the ESPN Houston merch. And
yeah, I just gotta, I gotta start getting some bandanas and just really trying to make this a thing for you and me. All right, the Houston Astros, for the first time since we started this podcast, Sean, would be a playoff team if the season ended today.
True.
Yes. They've been bad all season, Sean.
I was even like, I don't know, thinking last year too.
No, they didn't make the playoffs last year. You know what? Maybe there was like one show last year. Yeah. Because like, I think our first show ever, like it was after a good week, and then it just plummeted from there. But as of this moment, when you look at the standings, it's the Astros are the third wild card team at this moment with a 482 win percentage. There's three teams behind them with a 481 win percentage. So it's the smallest of margins right now. But it just – they've won four straight series. Tatsy Emi throws another very good start today or last night for the Astros. Like, very positive overall right now. The vibes are good again, Sean.
Yeah. The vibes, I guess they could be higher. But they're as high as they've been all season, I'll say, with the four straight series wins. Really, I mean, kind of doing what we said they would have to do to climb back out of the hole, because we didn't see them ripping off like a 8-9 game winning streak or winning 10 out of 12 at any stretch. It's just stacking up 2-1 series wins against teams that are, I mean, everyone is in the Astros vicinity in the AL, but, you know, with a team like the Blue Jays and Tigers, they're teams that you are pretty directly competing with in the wild card race. So yeah, getting that start from Tetsu Emi, getting the start you got out of Mike Burrows the night before. I mean, it really, like, I guess they could have won by more. They could have scored more runs, but on the pitching side, it's gone as well as it can the last 2 days.
Yeah, I think the Burrows start is maybe the most encouraging. Like, sent to the bullpen, going to be a piggyback, pitches one inning of a blowout baseball game last Friday night. And then back into the rotation now, and was very good in his start. And, you know, kind of complicates with potentially what happens next, I think, for the Astros, which is, it's not easy to figure out. Like you've got Christian Javier coming back this weekend, much to the demise, I think, of all Astros fans and hoping for things to be better. On Thursday, you had both Ronald Blanco and Lance McCullers throwing rehab starts. So it's like, okay, like, where are all these guys going to go? And we talked about Burrows going down. So for at least at this moment, he's probably kept himself in the rotation, and it might be a week by week, start by start basis for how he fares, but much more positive from him. And what does that mean? Emi's got 21 strikeouts in his last two starts. Does that sound right? He had 10 and then he had 11 and the one before that. So that's nice to see.
That's great. And it's something, that we didn't really, I mean, I'd never saw coming of, oh, not only will he be, you know, a good major league starter, but he at least the last two starts has stuff that is striking guys out that, you know, they're not even making contact with. And it's something that you didn't even see when he threw a no hitter. He only had two strikeouts in the no hitter. So this, whatever change he's made, whatever it's going on, the acclimation process, I think, is, I don't want to say it's done, good job, everyone, but it's in the right direction, and it's definitely at a place where, you know, we talk about this starting pitching logjam with guys getting healthy, and Emi has kind of played himself off the bubble, so to speak.
For sure. Yeah, I think Emi is off the bubble. You know, Lambert, obviously Hunter Brown, like, those are the locks. And like, you look at Emi this month now, you know, he's got four starts this month. So he's going to have a 10 strikeout game that he had versus the Tigers, 11 strikeouts versus the Guardians, the Royals game where he got two outs and only got one strikeout. But then, the Athletics game that he started on the 6th of the month, he struck out 8. You know, it's like, okay, he's got – so that puts him at 30 strikeouts and 4 starts in this month. Like, that's pretty good stuff. And we always reference, like, that first really positive start was against the Athletics when he went 5 2/3. Was that back in April, struck out 9. So maybe, you know, he has, to your point, Sean, figured out something to where, like, it's just the slider is working better and he has a better game plan, whatever it is, and they're just attacking more and it's just finally working. But, like, that's the reason I think to be the most optimistic right now about this playoff run and trying to make the playoffs this season is, okay, maybe Josh Miller is actually just getting these guys rolling. Like, your bullpen's pretty good. Rotation looks better. Arrows up.
And it's withstood the return of Yiner Diaz as the starting catcher most days. That, you know, that was something we were worried about when he did get healthy, is that the pitching staff, both starters and bullpen, made this big turnaround while he was hurt. And, you know, just the book on Vasquez is that he's a better defensive catcher, better game caller behind the dish than Diaz. And, you know, I know I was just like, yeah, cool. Thank you for the time, Yiner. Enjoy backing up Christian Vasquez. And, you know, at least, you know, it's still pretty early in the stretch since he's come back, but it looks like whatever they figured out no matter who's catching.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I think it's a very fair take for us media fans to have of like, well, look, it's so much better than it is with this guy than this guy. Yeah. But sometimes there's more to that. And maybe that's what we're seeing here, is that they figured something else out overall. And look, it's a very small sample size, but, you know, Jeremy Branham brought this up and he tweeted this out, that in his return, he's slashing 286, 348, 476. Like, he's walked a couple of times. Like, hey. So like, which is a surprise. It's like, it's 23 plate appearances. Like, it's not like Yiner Diaz is back, but, you know, if he is swinging the bat better, it really does justify putting him in the lineup a lot more. And, like, very quickly, we talked about him catching 2 days a week, to where it might be a 4-day thing. It might be back to 4-2, which is honestly, Sean, it's in the best interest of the Astros. The best interest is Yiner is playing 4 games a week, and it's well deserved that he's playing in those 4 games.
Yes, and it's what he's doing. Swinging the bat, really. That is allowing this to, you know, kind of yo-yo all the way back in the course of, what, 2 weeks of being back. So, yeah, it is a small sample size, but those numbers aren't, like, cartoonishly outside the realm of possibility of what he can do for a full season. Like, he has shown that he can be a good hitter at the major league level. It's just, you know, it's kind of been a while since he was that guy, and the valleys are so bad. He just looked lost out there. But when he's right and the pitching staff is still delivering, I mean, they had three like really good performances against two really good performances against the Blue Jays, and then one on Thursday against the Tigers. That, you know, like, if he can do it all, that's great, perfect. love that. But it just didn't seem like that was close to happening last time we talked.
Yeah, and the other thing that, you know, stands out from some of the recent stretches is some of the baseball luck, you know, but also, you know, clutch plays that have happened. You know, I joked with Jeremy, like, I guess the Astros won the Joey Loprofito Jesus Sanchez trade. Wow. Like, smashes a 3-run home run. And then it's just on third base, and I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know what's going on with the Blue Jays there. Like maybe it's a designed play there, but Okamoto, the third baseman's not looking for the ball. And it just goes right past him, and Joey Loprofito just walks his ass home, and he's safe. So Loprofito comes through with two of the more clutch hits we've seen for the Astros this year in back-to-back days against the team that traded away. Like, that's another one where that feels like that hasn't been going the Astros' way all season. Like, when you've needed that hit, if it wasn't coming from really Yordan Alvarez or Christian Walker, you just weren't getting them. And now you're getting some of those things from other guys in the lineup.
Yeah, and I even think about early in Wednesday's game against the Blue Jays, where Pena is I think it was the first inning. Pena's down 0-2 in the count, works a walk, fouling off pitches, and then Isak Paredes knocks him in with an RBI double. It's like that, just like that, those little things like that just were not happening. That was a strikeout for Pena and an empty inning where Paredes probably gets stranded on second in April. Yeah. That's what happens. Acapena wasn't even playing, but that the equivalent wasn't happening for the Astros. So they are, you know, they're playing better, just like qualitatively. Even if some of these wins, like you said, that you know, it's heavily dependent on Joey Loperfido revenge games.
Yeah,
but even despite all that, they are actually performing better, and they are performing like a team that is ready to compete for a playoff spot, even if, you know, I assume the bar for what a playoff team in the AL will be raised at some point this season.
I don't know, man. But it
might be the Astros that are one of the teams raising that bar where, you know, maybe the leader of the AL West sometime soon, Joe, maybe they're even above 500. That would be a wild thing to happen if the Astros at whatever, 45-44 were able to lead the AL West.
There's four teams in the American League above 500 right now. That's it.
Not great.
Teams. The Yankees, the Rays, the White Sox, the Guardians.
Yeah. Oh, and
that's it.
I was gonna say, and they're two divisions, but yeah, it makes sense that none of them are in the AL West. But yeah, that is wild. And like the run differential too. I think there's only two, maybe a third team that's like neutral.
So
that are their positive run differential team.
There's three right now. So it's the Yankees who have a plus 110.
That's good.
The Rays plus 13. The Mariners plus 4.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it. Like the American League
Mariners are bad week. Yeah, the Mariners are a bad weekend away from being under
they might be a bad day. They're a bad day away, honestly. Yeah. Like with the way baseball's been working this year. One thing I want to circle back with the Loperfido game. Not to say that like I haven't watched an unhealthy amount of replays of big home runs in my life. I think the Taylor Trammell home run might be up there with how many times I watched it. He hit that thing. He hit a nuclear bomb. Like I've never seen a baseball go there. Look, it's back to back to back on the same day. If you didn't know this, three of the Astros top prospects went back to back to back also in a minor league game that same day. But Trammell, he smoked that thing, dude. Like I've never seen a baseball hit up there at Rogers Center.
Yeah. I mean, and then the, whatever Statcast projection that they do for the distance, it's like
you
know, 418 or something. It's
wrong.
Just
wrong. I don't know what they're doing with these
685. That's
whatever these projections are. They're wrong. Like I just I don't believe it anymore. Like you see these home runs, I'm like that can't be right. Like
I definitely have. It's some number that you're like, wait, so I've seen like 100 farther home runs this season than that? Like, no way.
No, that's literally impossible. But yeah, he absolutely crushed that thing. You know, just looking at the other things that are going on with this team right now, I think one of the, you mentioned Isak Paredes, you know, before the Tigers game, he had gone three straight games where he gave the Astros a 1-0 lead. That's the other big positive. Like as Walker has kind of crashed down to earth a little bit, which is obviously bad. Isak Paredes, I think, is consistently just putting up better at bats, has another sac fly in the Tigers game to help give the Astros the lead there in that one. But he's putting together much better right now as Walker's going in the opposite direction.
Yeah. And that with, you know, you throw in what you're getting from Yonder Diaz and in the 20 something plate appearance, it is like, okay, you're surviving the Walker. I mean, it's honestly like beyond regression to the mean at this point. This is like full on like, oh no, this is early season Christian Walker from last year back.
Yeah, it's one where I wonder how long till people start panicking with Christian Walker. I mean,
is he
maybe
still
a couple
under
days?
200? Yeah, I was gonna say, is he under 200 for the month of June? It might be now.
Yeah, like maybe like July 1, people are like, all right, we got a problem here again. Because it was so clear. Like, it was like, this guy has to hit behind Yordan Alvarez. He gives the best protection. I think that's flipped now. Like, we've seen Joe Espada do this where, you know, with the Tigers game, Isak Paredes batted third, Walker batted fourth. I'm not a huge lineup construction talk guy all the time, but that's one where I'm like, yeah, like Walker stinks, Parade is good. This makes sense.
Yeah, when it's something that dramatic, like I'm at least open to, okay, maybe it does matter that he bats, you know, in essence 45 seconds later than he normally would, or whatever it is, probably a little bit longer. It's like two minutes extra. Sure, whatever works.
It might be 45 seconds with the pitch clock now. These games are moving. It's interesting. Like, we've spent so much time on these shows and on the station talking about this team as a seller. But again, as we talk right now, they're a playoff team. Have you started to even just like think through of what a deadline now maybe going in the other direction, you know, looks like, you know, because there's still a lot of baseball left. It's August 3rd, it's the deadline. So you still got like 40 something days until we get there. But have you started to think about like, okay, maybe like this is the kind of player, you know, tier of player the Astros could actually go out and try to acquire at the deadline now?
Yeah, I think position-wise it's pretty easy. I think position-wise you're looking at left fielder one, maybe center fielder to upgrade off of Myers. And then pitching help, but everyone's kind of looking for pitching. Like, there's not really a team that's not like, you know, we could use another arm in the bullpen somewhere. It's like every team thinks that. But for me, I think the biggest one is that bat in the outfield, just with what you've gotten from outfielders this season, especially when Yordan's DHing. It's just the numbers are absolutely, it's like horrific. So I think it's just like an easy call, outfielder. And then you're probably just with what the Astros have, in the farm system. You're not shopping for the luxury items there.
No.
You're bargain hunting. So you're looking at guys that are probably on last year's of their deals, that kind of thing, of just looking to paper over that spot. I assume left-handed batter is.
Yeah, but they've been saying that for years.
I honestly think Dana Brown's like just
a bit.
Yeah, it's just like it is something to say that we need that I don't actually care about.
Yeah.
And I can't really be judged on if I don't bring that in.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think left field and center field are the most obvious, you know, right now where the Astros would be able to upgrade. And what's good about, as you talk about, like, you know, like not an A tier guy and maybe more a B or even a C, like it's still logically probably an upgrade, honestly, of like you're getting from Jake Myers. And like, Loprofito's raw stats are actually pretty good. I think he has the highest OPS of all the outfielders. The regular outfielders right now outside of Yordan Alvarez on this team, but you add to center or left and it does make your lineup better and deeper. And, you know, I don't really care if it's a lefty at this point. Like, I want someone who can hit both sides at this point. Like, I get why you would want a lefty in the situation, but just some kind of upgrade there. You know, weirdly, Sean, like, I still think there is an upgrade to be made in the rotation. I just don't know how they do it. Like, we're talking about like this cluster of players coming back and how they piece it together as is if it's healthy, but then acquiring a starting pitcher, I'm just like, I'm not sure how they have enough. There's not enough spots on the roster with how they're currently constructed to even add to that.
I mean, you'd have to be trading either in that move or a separate move. You'd have to be moving on from someone who's in the rotation. So it's not like a pure add. Well, you know, with everyone else, it's like you're shipping out. I don't even know who it would be, honestly, who you would be shipping out just with, you know, I don't know if any team's really banging down your door to take McCullers or Javier. I don't know if anyone really is interested in buying low on Burrows at this point. Like, you're not trading Hunter Brown. You're not trading Emi. It's like, so someone like, yeah, Peter Lambert, sign us up. But also, why would you trade Peter Lambert? So,
yeah, same with Eric Getty, too. Like, why would you
do that? Eric Getty, yeah. So they don't really have, like, the obvious, like, you can kind of create a spot by ditching this guy, even at the deadline. Never mind what you do if they're all on your team and then you're adding someone.
Yeah, I think the easiest solution, it's not our money to spend, would be to ask Jim Crane to pay Christian Javier and Lance McCullers to go away. Like, that's the easiest one.
Probably McCullers more so. Oh, I guess in a trade, you would still.
Honestly, either one. Like trade them and eat part of the salary and, you know, find some team. You know, McCullers is probably more of a.
You can probably just cut him. It's flesh.
Yeah, honestly. Like, Javier, you probably will be able to convince some bad team to just take on him with, you know, eating part of the salary. You're not getting anything in return of value. But like, it's just doing some kind of trade just to get him off the roster and being willing to eat it. Like, that might be the only Astros path to, like, acquiring a starting pitcher. Because, well, again, with how weak the American League is, if you were to make a bold decision and to trade away some of your better prospects and to acquire a legit arm, even if it's like a Yusei Kikuchi level arm at the deadline, you know, you have a much better chance in a 3-game series than I think you currently have. I just, like, I'm not there with Imai. Great start, great 2 starts in a row, but, like, not trusting him in a playoff series right now. Lambert, really good, not a playoff trust guy. Arrighetti falling off the face of the earth. Like, so I think in a perfect world, like, I would add a left fielder and a starter. Just adding that starter is just, like, overly complicated, it feels like, at the moment.
Yeah, and what complicates it, just as far as being a buyer, which I think they – I would assume that they're a buyer, and I think they're definitely not a seller. I think they've played their way into definitely not a seller. I don't think Jim Crane ever, like, really – like, it was going to be hard to get Jim Crane to be like, all right, sell time. I think now, as a buyer, you're in a tough spot because of what we're talking about, the American League as well. Well, every team is 5 games out of the third spot of the wild card. Like, you know, even if you're the Boston Red Sox, you're like, you know, 10 good games away from being back in this thing. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility. So it's so hard to and it might be something where the market, just of who's available and who is, you know, pressing the red button to sell, like, that might be something that we don't know, and that the teams involved might not know until after the trade or after the All-Star break.
Yeah, no, it's like you said, Sean, like the Angels have won their last series and then split their series before that with the A's. They at this moment have the worst record in the American League, them in Kansas City, both at 34-48, and they're 5.5 games back of a wild card spot.
Yeah.
Like, how do you convince, like,
I was trying to think of the worst team in the American League and thought of the Red Sox, and they're too good.
Yeah, they're 5 games back. Like, it's just like they're like a week and a half away from being in the middle of it. Like, it's
not crazy. They just they need to do what the Astros just did, and then they're back in it.
Yeah, it's like it's funny. It's crazy how different it is in the National League. Like, at least the National League, there's a couple teams that, like, you know, the Rockies and really their records aren't that different. Like, the Rockies are right now the worst team in baseball. They're 32-49. They have a .395 win percentage. The Angels' win percentage is only .415, but the Angels are 5.5 games back of the wild card, and the Rockies are 11.5.
Because
it's a different sport.
Because the Astros are in the third wild card, and they're yet to be over .500.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's absurd. But, and look, and who knows, Sean? By next week, this conversation might flip again. It might be like, all right, we're back to sellers.
Yeah, and you know, especially with the 4th of July holiday, like, we're going to go 2 weeks without.
Oh,
with God knows what's happening then.
You know what, Sean? That's a great way to end the show. In 2 weeks.
July 10th. Who knows?
Tell me what we're talking about. Call your shot. Are they out of the playoffs, in a wild card, leading the division? Which one of the three do you think that it is? And as you think here for a second, I will generously pull up their schedule very quickly here for you. So you got the Tigers, the Twins, the Rays, the Nationals are the series between now and then.
Okay.
One good team.
Yeah.
One team above .500.
They play one of the three good teams in the American League. That's tough. That's tough. And then they play a National League team who, you know, they might as well be playing in the 2010s SEC West, apparently, compared to what you're doing in the MAC. You know, I remember in 2024 when the Astros were, I think they're like 10 games back to start the month of June, and a Hall of Famer, Texas radio legend John Granato, said that they would be leading by the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. And they were leading before the month of June was over.
Yeah.
And John Granato is a role model for me professionally.
And personally.
Less so. So in that vein, I will say they will be leading the division next time we talk. they're going to win 8 straight series or whatever, whatever that would be to get there.
You know what's crazy is I totally agree with you. Like, I don't know. It's just the good vibes are rolling. Like, they're playing well. Like, I agree. Like, when we're back on July 10th, I think the Astros are going to be in first place in the American League West. Will they be above 500 and in first place in the American League West? Bigger question that we don't have time for today. But they might be in first place. All right. That'll do it for us today. Thank you guys all for watching and listening. And again, as Sean said, we'll be off next week for Inside the Ice Backs back the following week. So enjoy your week. Enjoy your fourth next weekend. Hopefully a lot of good Astros baseball coming up. That'll do it for us today. As always, we're brought to you by D&M Leasing, home of the Easy Lease, 713-290-1000, or visit them at dmautoleasing.com. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Peace.